So there is a universal sign or signal, particularly in the world of sports. You've probably seen this. When the coach stands up and he makes this particular signal, what does that mean? Timeout. Coached a lot of sports, baseball, football, basketball. In basketball now, you can get either a full timeout or a half timeout. So it's either full or half, which is only 30 seconds, and it's not nearly enough to get everybody back together. But the reason the coach does that is because the players need a break. They need to take a breath. They need to refocus. And oftentimes, he'll call that special play, draws it up on the little blackboard so they know what to do to win the game. Well, here we are as a people of God. And God knows how busy we are, how hurried we are. We rush after all this stuff in life. We want to get everything there is. We don't want to miss out on anything. And he knows unless he commands, unless he gives us a rule, we're just going to grind ourselves right into the ground. That's what the Sabbath is. It means to take a rest. Take a breath, to stop for a moment, to refocus on all the good that God has given to us, to think about what is truly important. It's God's strategy, truly, for a winning life. And today, as families, we need Sabbath more than ever. Take a look there in your notes. I want us all to say this together because it's true. All right, all together, it has never been more important for the family to spend time together as a family and to spend time together with God than today. Families are going in all kinds of different directions. We need at least one day to be together, and not just with people, but with God. And that's what the Sabbath is all about. We know the context. Moses had gone up Mount Sinai. He came back with the Ten Commandments. The third one is remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. But what does that mean for us thousands of years later? Well, first of all, what do we remember with? Anybody? The brain, the mind. So we are to remember with our mind. And two things in particular. Number one, remember all the blessings that God has given to us. Now, again, in context, the Israelites had been in slavery for 400 years. They never made any decisions for themselves. They were always told what to do. They worked every single day from sun up to sundown, never a break, never a coffee break, never a vacation, never a holiday, no weekends, 7 days every single week until you die. So remember, you're no longer a slave. You have freedom. Remember how God rescued you from the Egyptians. Remember how when Pharaoh sent his army out after you, he parted the Red Sea, literally saving your life. Remember when you were there in the wilderness, he brought you food every day. Manna there on the ground. And when you get tired of manna, kind of like macaroni and cheese, it's good for a long time, but not forever. He gave them meat and water when they were thirsty. Remember your blessings. What's today again? Mother's Day. You can start there with mom. And even if it isn't always peaches and roses, she gave you life. And there's lots of good stuff she's done for you. Remember your family, your job, even when you don't like it every single day, what it provides for your family, your health. And when it's not perfect, remember the days that God has given you. So we begin there. Remember all the blessings God gave us. And then he told the Israelites, remember God gave everything that you needed in 6 days. The man is there every day. Sometimes they would try and pick up enough for the next day. They got greedy. And it would spoil. And the day before the Sabbath, he would say, now go ahead, pick up enough for the second day, and there would always be enough. Tell the person next to you, there will always be enough. Can you do that? There will always be enough. Our God is not a God of scarcity. He is a God of abundance. So remember with your mind. But not just with your mind. God says, put everything into it. Throw your heart into this special day. Let me give you an example. August 14th is my anniversary. Now imagine on August 14th, we're celebrating 37 years. Wake up in the morning, Sharon says, hey, do you know what day it is? I say, sure, it's our anniversary. And that's it. No card, no gift, no dinner, no special emphasis on the day. Well, it would be a very special anniversary because if I did that, it would be my very last anniversary, right? We give mom one day a year, we give our spouse one day a year, God says, you need to give me one day a week to remember your blessing and all that I've done for you. Set it aside and make it special. Secondly, he says, rest your body. Now, the Israelites, they had to work every day. We don't have to do that. And yet we still get worn out. We get tired. Now, my dad on the farm, very wise man, he said, we all need rest. Even farmers would take the Sunday off, even in planting season. He says, because even dirt needs rest. You see, we would plant corn one year in the field, and because it takes nutrients out of the soil, the next year we would plant beans. And it would return some of those nutrients that were missing. And then when we could, we would leave some of the fields fallow. We wouldn't plant anything at all. Why? Because even dirt needs rest. Turn to the person next to you and say that. Even dirt. Not that you're dirt, just saying. Even dirt needs rest. And yet we need to understand that these rules are given to be not a burden, but a blessing. We read in both our epistle and our gospel today. Jesus said the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. It's supposed to be a blessing to you, not a burden, not just a set of rules that you got to follow or you're in trouble. It's for your own good. Now, there are those who will say, well, the devil doesn't take a day off. Why should I? Well, whose side do you want to be on? Who wins? Yeah. The Sabbath was made for man, and Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. But it's not just for you personally. The Sabbath is for the entire community. Certainly the community of faith, the community of God, but really it was meant for everyone. Again, reading, the seventh day is a day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God on that day. No one, you can underline that, circle it, put a star by it. No one in your household may do any kind of work that includes you, mom and dad, sons and daughters, your male and female servants. Just another way of saying your children, once again, your livestock, And any foreigners or aliens. Do you have any aliens? Yeah. It means everybody, the community. When I was growing up, that is exactly what we did. You remember the blue laws, anybody? The blue laws? There wasn't any work for anyone on Sunday. Now, some people have to work on Sunday. I do, by the way. But it's not so bad. It's the only day of the week that I work, so it's okay. So somebody's still got to cook the meals, right? Some people have to work. For me, growing up, usually I would have to do the chores in the morning, you know, feed the pigs, the cows, the chickens, gather the eggs. My dad would do it so we could get ready for church. He would drive us. We would go in to Sunday school, drop us off, go back, finish the chores, bring mom then for church. We'd all go to church. We'd always be late, so we'd have to sit in the front row. Another story, another day. But then we'd worship with the community. Go home, mom would make a great dinner. And then usually either people came over or we would go visit someone. We have a big family. We'd go see cousins, grandma and grandpa. Sometimes just the farmer down the road, our neighbors. And you'd spend all day just hanging out, talking, playing cards. The kids would be in the backyard running around playing together until sunset and you went home. Had another great meal. And then we got to watch TV, which was a big thing then. Bonanza, right? Well, they made us watch Lawrence Welk too, but again, another story. For the community to take a rest, reflect on our blessing, but mostly to rejoice in our spirit. You see, the Lord's Day is holy, which means to be set apart. And he says it twice at the beginning of the commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And then at the very end, this is the Lord's Sabbath. Because it's holy. What he's saying is there's more to this day than just the absence of work. It's also a day of worship, to set aside for the Lord, to praise him, to give him thanks, to make an offering of our time and our talent. You see, today, most people, and this is not just the people out there who aren't here today, this is us as Christians as well. Most people have taken a holy day, which it's meant to be, set apart, and made it into what? A holiday. A day off. So what are most people going to be doing? Even when we're in worship, we then still run around. We do our errands. We do yard work. And all these other things. The Lord's point is this. There's more to life than just work and play. Both important. And we need to take a day of rest for our mind and our body, but most importantly for our soul, for our spirit. Well, let's go ahead. Let's use that analogy as holiday. In the Christian church, what are the two biggest holidays? Go ahead, yell them out. Christmas and Easter, right? Christmas and Easter. Literally, Sunday is Easter. Remember, in the Old Testament, Sabbath doesn't mean Saturday. It's day of rest. It means to stop. But that was the day you would Sabbath on Saturday because it was the day the Lord rested. But what do we do now? We worship on Sunday because that's the day that Jesus, who died on the cross, rose from the grave. So this is Easter. And what do you do on Easter? You get up early. You go to Easter breakfast. You come to worship. You wear your best clothes. You have a photo op. I think we're going to do that again today. You hang out with your community. And you probably took most of the rest of the day off. I like to think of Sunday as Christmas without all the stress. No, really, I don't have to wrap any presents, huh? It's all wrapped up for me. You know, I have this little thing on my wrist. I don't know if you've ever seen this. It says, I love Sunday. And I truly do. Truly. Just like David once said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Sunday is what gets me through Monday and Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, I start to think about Sunday again. Because I get to receive God's precious gifts. I get to hear the pastor say that I'm forgiven, even though I already know that. I see the cross, and I'm reminded of the sacrifice that God made for me. And I receive Christ's body and blood, a tangible gift, a real physical bread and wine, the body and the blood. And I get to hang out with all of you. And there's donuts. I'll close with this. You know that when you go to the cemetery, a lot of the tombstones will have something that looks like this: rest in peace. Because that's the goal of a lot of people, that when this life is over, all the hard work, all the difficulties, all the obstacles, all the struggles, all the suffering is over. But God's plan for all of us is to have rest now. Our mind needs a break at least once a week. So does our body and certainly our spirit. But he wants peace, not just when this life is over, but he wants it for us now. But the truth is, you can only have true rest and true peace if you know Jesus and what he's done. And so once a week, let's plan to gather together to remember all of those blessings of both body and soul that our Lord has given to us. And to know that because of what Christ has done, not only do we get to have rest and peace here, but we get the greatest Sabbath of all. When this life stops and the new one begins, with our Lord forever in heaven. Amen.